The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's 11 after 8.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Maybe not in the valley, but certainly up in the higher hills, that is for sure. And I'll bet over near Senator Linthicum's house, it's looking very Christmas-like. You were telling me about that yesterday, isn't that right, Dennis? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, Bill, we got a good dose of snow, and last night was a little bit warmer weather, but you know we're well covered in the white stuff, and it is a beautiful time of year. You just have to be ready and prepared.
Now, I have to ask you, I know that you have been off the grid for a number of decades. You did it back before it was cool to do. What is it like in the wintertime living with renewable power when you end up getting the snow and the and maybe lack of wind? I don't know if you have wind power. Is it mostly solar that you're working with there?
It's mostly solar and a diesel backup. And what's difficult is when you get several days of cloud cover, then there is no solar. You know, the magic of all magics, you need the sunshine for this renewable energy. If the sun's not shining, if I were an investor and I wanted a return on my investment, I would be building solar arrays in Southern California, the Arizona desert, New Mexico desert, even Northern Mexico. I'd have a trade agreement down there where there's sunshine and we're still close to the grid infrastructure. I would never build an array in the Pacific Northwest because you don't get enough sunshine. You don't get enough good weather. You don't get clear skies.
But yet, isn't that what we're doing with our energy plan in the Northwest for the most part? Lots of solar and lots of wind, right?
Yeah, we are wasting money, you know, hand over fist on solar energy, you know, enterprises that are all funded by taxpayer dollars that are just getting pushed and wasted into you know, corporate enterprise. Everybody's willing to put in. People may have seen it as you drive the 97 or whatever at Highway 138. There's a little four-station electric charger put in. There's electric chargers going in at the pilot station in Chemult, what is typically a gas and diesel truck stop, now getting a little, you know, carve-out for electrical. And taxpayers are going to fund the electric bill for all of those drivers who sit there for 5 hours while they charge their car on a cold day.
Do they taxpayer-funded car chargers, do they not actually charge the drivers? So are electric vehicles being given a free pass on fueling?
What's interesting is some of them do and some of them don't. Oh. And I don't know how that works. At the Capitol, just so everybody realizes, taxpayers are funding all the legislators' electric vehicles that are in the parking garage.
Of course we are.
Well, yeah, of course.
Are we buying your diesel or gasoline? I don't know what type of vehicle you have.
Yeah, I haven't got that bill through yet, but I'm working on it.
Hmm.
Dennis, I'm teasing.
Yeah, right? I know. I get that. Hey, Dennis, before we talk about this transition to the next Senator Linthicum here, I wanted to ask you, you're one of a handful of people last week with the special session that voted no on bailing out the Oregon Department of Forestry when it comes to the wildfire fighting budget. What was your thought process on that? It's always curious to talk to the people who dared to say no to the system.
Yeah, and I think that's the point is it's not like I was everybody has a personal story, a neighbor, a friend, mm-hmm. somebody in the industry that they know was financially harmed because the state didn't pay their bills in a timely manner. And so we should stop that. But what we didn't do is we didn't put policy in place to stop that. We didn't ensure that invoices are paid in a timely manner. We didn't provide backup funding or additional firefighting funding. The only thing we did was solve this emergency. And I think we solved this emergency by throwing gasoline on the fire, because the problem still exists and we didn't solve it. And we walked away proud as peacocks. And the governor got a PR hit out of doing this. And nobody ever said this social justice mantra, the forestry and habitat conservation efforts and net zero goals are overly costly. They're very difficult to enforce. They're convoluted in their logic, and taxpayers can't survive under this kind of socialism. Under this socialist.
Now, that program you were talking about, is that the MAP? Are you talking about the MAP or something different?
The MAP, of course, is part of it. But, there's insurance problems, there's MAP problems, there's funding of all these things. And that's the point, is whenever government gets involved, we have a chain reaction which spirals out of control.
Now, let me ask you then about this specific one with the ODF. Would it not have been a good idea, given the unpredictability of emergency wildfire funding? I mean, this is just the nature of it. Some summers are worse than others, as we well know. Would it not make sense just to have a non-touchable emergency fund there within the ODF? Maybe there already is one. I'm not an expert on ODF. Maybe you could explore this a little bit.
Well, yeah, Boquist made the point that with $98 billion, that's B with a billion, in state investments and another $34 billion in short-term operational funds, it's actually inconceivable that the state could not float the cash flow needed for each fire invoice as they came in a timely manner. The fire invoices weren't paid in a timely manner. Funds weren't allocated. The resources, quote, weren't there. And the treasurer refused to fill those resources. So all of a sudden we have $220 million. Fire invoices, that is?
That would be a lot of companies and a lot of people waiting for money. Something would tell me that a private company dealing with its vendors that way would be very quickly out of business. Would I be wrong about that?
You're absolutely right. See, that's the key point, that I was of no vote because we did not fix the problem. Mm. What we did was we kicked it down the road, and somebody else is going to have to deal with it. And if the governor can call us into a special session and get everybody to act like, oh no, these people need to get paid. Why wasn't somebody saying that in March, in April, in May and June, when they were firemen on the line, where there were tankers and trucks, when people were busy in the forest, and every one of those invoices should have been paid in a timely manner, and they were not. And of course, there was concerns, but they kept letting them add up until they reached this critical mass, and the critical mass is all you need to get a good emergency going.
Okay. State Senator Dennis Linthicum, we appreciate the explanation on that. I was kind of wondering, and I noticed that Boquist also voted no on that. Did anybody vote no in the House, or did everybody get in line for that? Do you recall?
I didn't follow up on that. If Robinson was excused, but he would have also been a no vote. Mm-hmm. Noah Robinson, Senator-elect Robinson, actually made a request from the Department of Forestry for paperwork. For example, for invoices, for overdue payables, 90-day, 120-day, 180-day, mm-hmm, outstanding invoices. What does that look like? What kind of funding is needed, et cetera? And we didn't get any of that information. So
this was all just gathered together. Everybody votes. Everyone acts happy and pretends like they're doing something good, but they didn't fix anything. All they did was paper it over with money. That's all they did. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's the Oregon way. Governor Kotek, I think, quite frankly, as discussions happen, as we see Trump make headway against the deep state, I think this is the end of this blue wall here on the left coast. I think people living behind the blue wall of California, Oregon, Washington see the writing. They understand the graffiti. They know they're in trouble. They see the crime in the streets, the homelessness. They see college and middle-aged individuals overdosing because they have no reason to live because their life has been destroyed by policies that are detrimental to our prosperity.
I have to ask you, speaking of the, lives being destroyed with the drugs and such, I was reading in one of our local papers about how the complaint is that, I shouldn't say it's a complaint, but the talk on the street is that the price of fentanyl has doubled. Right. And you know, the first thought that goes through my head, Senator, when I see complaints, well, wow, the price of fentanyl in the street has doubled, that will be the next intervention done by the state legislature. Well, we have to have a subsidy, you know, kind of like, fentanyl stamps instead of SNAP benefits, you know, that kind of thing. Does anybody even talk about that kind of stuff? Like, we have to subsidize them to make sure that the homeless don't have to steal more in order to get their fentanyl fix?
Well, your outlandish, comment is apropos, because we do that with needles. We need everybody to get a fresh needle. Right. We don't want anybody reusing a needle.
And if we're worried about the needles, why wouldn't we be worried about the fact that there's no drug to put in the needle, right? It's what I'm getting at. So it could be like Stab and Wagon. You could have the Stab and Wagon nonprofit, and then you could have another nonprofit paid for by the state. It's the Fill the Stabber. Right? Fillthestabber.org or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not
and
being
don't
flippant.
Don't forget the dose of Narcan. You know, everybody's got to have it. You see commercials on TV now for Narcan. Everybody, what should we do? And everybody jumps up from their card game or, their Scrabble board, and they rush to get the Narcan and save a life. And it's like, well, wait a minute. This is already after the fact. We should be talking about the drug culture, the failed education system, the fact that there's no standards coming out of high school for graduation. What are the proficiency standards for graduating in the state of Oregon?
Well, I think the proficiency, after I've been observing it for a number of years, best thing you can do, unfortunately, is still get out. I know there are a lot of good people that are doing their best to try to reform the system, but there's a lot of rot there, Senator. Hey, before we take off, though, almost out of time, I just wanted to just bend your ear on this. How's the transition going on? Because there's a switching of roles going on in your office, because you're going to be chief of staff for Senator Dianne Linthicum next year. And it's been a lot of years. And I imagine this is it a little confusing or a little bit? It'd be kind of weird, I would imagine. Flipping this after a while, huh?
It is a little unusual. We've been married almost 45 years, so we hang out well together. And
well, that's good.
And what'll be different is, figuring out how we interface with the public. Dianne understands my mind. I understand her mind. We do these things pretty naturally. And the hardest part up till right now was figuring out which office we'd have to move to. Seniority counts. So as a senior senator, I could choose the office of my choice. Now Dianne's a rookie, and so she doesn't have any seniority for parking place, for office, for access to the copy machine.
What do they take do the rookies end up like getting the offices by the bathroom or something like that, right next door to the restroom, that kind of thing? I wonder.
Yeah. We now know where we're going to be, and actually it worked out nice. Dianne said, I'd love to stay put and not have to move all of this stuff. And they, they let us stay in that office, and
it's not a
big deal. Like, this sounds like a petty little thing to discuss on a radio show, but you were asking what's it like to, change roles, and we're trying to figure it out as we go along.
Okay, well, keep us in the loop there, and I guess we'll be talking with the new Senator Linthicum in a little while, too. I'm sure you'll keep doing newsletters and writing, because that's just the way you are, Dennis. I don't think that's going to change, okay?
Right.
All right. You be well. Thanks again. Merry Christmas.
Okay. You bet. Thank you, Bill, and we'll chat later. Bye-bye.
All right, catch in 2025 and beyond. It's 826 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Now then, we are going to do the Diner 62 Real American Quiz, and this is going to be a fun one. This is about a big historical event today in 1773. Would you like to get that Diner 62 prize today or the $20 gift certificate and go out there and eat not just well, but really well? My gosh, they got that half ham special for $11.15 going on still during the morning show. Couple of pork chops and pork chop and eggs, or 8 ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now. Clam chowder Friday is coming up. Hot open face sandwiches through the holidays, either turkey or the pot roast sandwiches. It's all good. 770-5633. All I ask is that you have not won this in the last 60 days, but maybe you can win it next on KMED and KBXG.
The soil around your home is a lot like a sponge. It expands when it's wet and contracts when it's dry. Over time, all that movement can damage your foundation. Your house starts sending warning signs like cracks, uneven floors, and sticking doors and windows. Terra Firma can stop the cycle. Our experts will find the source of the problem and provide permanent solutions to make your foundation safe and solid again. So if you suspect your foundation has issues, don't wait for things to get worse. Call Terra Firma today for a free evaluation.
Visit GoTerraFirma.com.
The Outdoor Report is every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on The Bill Myers Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and The Jukebox 99.3 covers recreational opportunities and is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure, off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
Getting ready to move? Crosstown Movers agent for Beacons Van Lines is Southern Oregon's trusted name for moving and storage, with professional, friendly service and affordable rates for moving locally, statewide, or across the country. Crosstown Movers is your local Penske truck rental dealer with a huge selection of boxes and supplies. Crosstown Movers also has 20-foot outdoor mini storage units available for rent at 411 First Street in Medford. So when you're moving or just storing, save time and stress and check out crosstownmover.net for all of your moving and storage needs.
It's a musical tradition. Chip Davis, the founder and musical director of Mannheim Steamroller, presents a coast-to-coast broadcast of Mannheim Steamroller's An American Christmas.
Join us Christmas Eve and Christmas morning for all the warmth, music, and happiness of an old-fashioned American Christmas.
Starts 9 a.m. Christmas Eve on KMED, sponsored by Fontana Roofing. They wish you a Merry Christmas and ask you to support Arts with a Mission this holiday season and in the coming year.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
Diner 62 Real American Quiz, and we have Real American Kevin, who is up here. Hello, Kevin. How are you doing this morning?
Hello. I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Glad to hear it. Hey, Kevin, it was today, December 16th. It was yesterday in history. Pardon me. December 16th, 1773, the Boston Tea Party. Group of Massachusetts colonists disguised as Mohawk Indians dumped a bunch of tea into the harbor. And the midnight raid, popularly known as the Boston Tea Party, in protest of the Tea Act of 1773. That was a bill designed to bail out the faltering East India Company by greatly lowering the tea tax and granting it a monopoly on the American tea trade. And so East India was able to undercut even tea smuggled into America by the Dutch traders, and colonists were looking at this as another taxation tyranny here, Kevin. So Parliament, outraged by the blatant destruction, enacted the Coercive Acts, also known as the Intolerable Acts. The Coercive Acts closed Boston to merchant shipping, established formal British military rule in Massachusetts, made the Brits immune to criminal prosecution in America. Oh, Kevin, that's great. I bet they love that part. You want to sue a Brit? Too bad, right? And also, it also required colonists to take British soldiers and put them up in their house. The colonists subsequently called the First Continental Congress to consider a united American resistance to the British. So the question here for the win, Kevin, how many tons of that very valuable tea dumped into the harbor during the Boston Tea Party? Was it A, 11 and a half tons? Was it B, 23 tons? Was it C, 46 tons? Was it D, 55 and a half tons? Or was it E, 69 tons? Could have been a lot of tea one way or the other. What would you say?
I'd say 46, Bill.
You would say 46. This almost never happens.
You're a winner!
You were the first one. You got it. Yeah, here's the backstory. 46 tons. When three tea ships, the Dartmouth, the Eleanor, and the Beaver, got into Boston Harbor, the colonists demanded the tea be returned to England. After the governor refused, Patriot leader Sam Adams organizes the Tea Party, about 60 members of the Sons of Liberty, his underground resistance group. Now, according to BostonTeaPartyShip.com, 340 chests of this tea, weighing 46 tons, smashed open, had a bunch of axes, they dumped it into the harbor. And besides the destruction of the tea, historical accounts record no damage was done to any of the three ships. It was just the tea. They didn't do anything to the crew. They didn't do anything else on board the ship except for one broken padlock. And the padlock was the personal property of one of the ship's captains. And then the Patriots replaced it next day. They say, hey, you know, sorry about, you know, breaking up all the tea, but here's your padlock back. You know, right. So there we go. Kevin, you are going to Diner 62. Hang on. We'll get you all set up. OK, a lot of fun.
All right.
Yeah. So it's not very often that that Brian Coppedge writes these quizzes for me. And so they end up getting it first. But in this particular case, Kevin ended up doing that.
When choosing a contractor, you need a...
Relations, Bill London, KMED.
Day 34. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Lucretia, I have been remiss. What's going on this morning and what's on your mind, huh?
Okay, 2 minutes.
All right.
So it turns out we looks like we are already a one world order.
And we're already in a one world order, you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems, but it's very hidden. It's something Manly P. Hall said as well. It'll be amazing when we wake up and realize this. It's clear in the symbols, okay? She goes through this interview, and it's called about the next pandemic and just how we're lied to about the viruses and the PCR tests and all this. But she also goes in. She's a 40-year naval doctor, okay? Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, never questioned things like the whole how you analyze and test for a virus. It was just all a fraud in the end. It's people accepted it.
Yeah, I disagree with her on that, but, you know, I'll let you say it. That's fine. All right.
Okay, but even, you know, you got to admit that even, you know, polio, it wasn't contagious. Only kids, especially kids, got it that worked in the apple orchards and things like that where they were spraying DDT. It was never contagious. It
well, the way that was explained to me is that sanitation probably did more to take care of polio than anything else. But
you could put a ton of kids in with other kids with polio or people with polio, they wouldn't catch it.
All right. Well, what is your takeaway point on this then?
Okay. So my point on this is that it turns out she's have found out how to get rid of bacterial pneumonia overnight. She was on a cruise and it all makes sense because of the A2 receptors that are on the body, but literally as well, and Dr. Artis has published studies on this, just using some nicotine toothpicks or nicotine gum totally can get rid of a bad cold or even pneumonia overnight.
That's an interesting prescription. You know, Lucretia, have you ever considered... Okay, Lucretia, have you ever considered actually just doing Lucretia's website where you could just put all this up there?
There's enough of those, but I want to go into Nebraska.
Okay, I don't have time for Nebraska, though. I don't.
Okay, but I've got 2 minutes. One minute left.
No, it's like two. You know, you've already had 2.5 minutes right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on, Phil. This is huge, okay? This is huge. The word Nebraska is a Russian word. She speaks Russian. And it turns out, you know, her grandfather was from Des Moines, Iowa. And it's like a place they can't even pave the road, Bill.
Okay, give me the take on Nebraska, the origin of the word Nebraska.
But it had this gorgeous building, and it was a Roman-style building.
So?
It turns out Nebraska means, in Russian, not our brothers. So there was other territories where there were other races. But that building in Des Moines, which you can look at the state capitol, it's gorgeous. It's a Russian architecture. They were here. Manly P. Hollis said it'll be amazing when people realize they are us.
Now you're going off the rails here with me here, Lucretia.
I'm telling you what you said. I'm look at the building. Look at the Russian building.
But so what? No, I'm asking you, so what?
Well, okay.
Okay, so they're not our brothers. So what? You know, we used to use the term squaw quite frequently too in this world. Remember, we name things like that. It's not a good thing, right? So what?
It's all from cowboys and Indians, and you look at the American dime, and it's the mercurium, and the back of it shows the fascia.
Uh huh. Well, I'll tell you what. You need to have Lucretia's website, so this way you can put all your links. You can be like a Drudge Report for crazy, okay?
No, she goes...
No, I'm serious. Drudge Report, you need to do Lucretia's website. I am dead serious with you. Dead serious. Lucretia's website. This is like, you know, the unusual, that may sound far-fetched. And this way you can, you know, explain it all you want. You really need your own website. You really do. No. Listen, you're not listening to me. I'm explaining to you how you want to get this out to the world. And that's how you do that. Do it. Everybody else does.
Enough people doing it.
Okay. Okay. Then why do you think that I need to know? It's 8:39.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab is your source for paint protection film, window tint, and vinyl wrap for your personal vehicle, too. Get your design suggestion today. Visit WashBuggyAutoSpa.com.
True story. A few years ago, I gave my husband a new camera for Christmas. When he wanted to take a picture of me, I wouldn't let him. I couldn't stand the thought of having my picture taken because I was just too fat. I avoided cameras like the plague. Sound familiar? You know, it's really not our fault. We did what conventional dieting told us to do. But what they told us didn't work. The fat came back. Hi, I'm Zola from PlanZDiet.com. I got so sick of diets that don't work that I decided I was going to have to design my own diet. I call it Plan Z. Here's what Plan Z does that others don't. A, it works, and it works fast. On Plan Z, the average dieter loses 31 pounds in under 50 days. Who wants to mess around with 1 or 2 pounds a week? And B, you eat real food. No packaged or frozen foods, no drinking a meal from a can. At the end of the diet, you'll find that you have a new metabolism, too, and you can eat without gaining it back. That's a major bonus. There's plenty more to explain, so check out Plan Z at PlanZDiet.com.
On a silent night, have you ever asked, do you hear what I hear as your house is settling? Mallette Construction reminds you this holiday season that while you deck the halls, if you notice sloping floors and cracks in walls, that's a sign your home's foundation needs a gift too. Call Mallette Construction because all we want for Christmas is to level your house and repair the damage. Have yourself a merry level Christmas from Mallette Construction. Visit MalletteConstruction.com.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Her number is 541-680-5875, and that would be Charisse. Charisse from No Wires Now on Open for Business. Charisse, welcome back. How can people get almost half-price self-service out of No Wires Now, huh? What can you do for them?
Hmm? All you have to do is come in and talk to me. Just bring me a copy of your bill, tell me your situation. Everybody's situation's different. It doesn't matter if it's a business account, mm-hmm. a residential account. I promise you I can lower the bill.
All right. So you come in there and you bring the bill and you're going to go to work. But what are some of your better deals in this right now? Explain how some of that kind of works. Maybe some special offers.
Okay. Hmm? So I pretty much help people with their TV, their internet, and their cell phones. So
right.
Like a one-stop shop. We're a local family business. There's not very many of those left around. So that's kind of a nice, unique touch. You come in, you talk to me pretty much every time. I do have an assistant that's helping me as well. But if you come in, let's say you have a Verizon 4 cell phone plan, you're paying $250 a month, I can get it down to $90, tax-free, still on the Verizon, and then I can help you lower your internet bill. I can get it down to $30 a month. So if you're paying $80 for internet, I can help you get it down to $30 if you have cable.
Yeah, there are ways to do this, and you are kind of like the queen of negotiating tactics in which you say, hey, these people are going to quit unless you kind of a deal. What kind of a deal do you do, right? And that's, but people have to become your client in order for you to do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, like you. Like, you have Dish. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of people are streaming, but Dish is still the best. And if you don't have Dish, right now is the best time to get it. If you're getting those $500 Visa cards in the mail,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have one of those, I can get you a $200 Visa card, and I can get you Netflix free for 2 years. And Dish has all the streaming apps now. It has Peacock, Hulu, Paramount Plus. Everything is built into the Dish box.
Kind of a one-step then, one-step situation. Don't have to have any other apps or anything outside of the Dish system. Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting. So this situation with them being bought or taken over is not causing trouble, in other words, is what you're telling me. Because I think some people were probably calling you up worried about that when they hear the news.
Oh, no.
Right?
Are you talking about DirecTV buying Dish?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that hasn't happened. It was just like, the government's not going to let it happen. There always will be Dish and Direct. I
okay.
mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's not going to affect it. You know, remember when AT&T bought Direct?
Yes.
Well, guess what? DirecTV owns DirecTV again. So it's just money. who has the most money can buy the most things.
But still, you direct most of your clients over to Dish. You think they got the better deal for people, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you have cable TV, okay, Charter, Spectrum, you are paying $35 a month just in tax to have their crappy TV service. And I'm not joking. That is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And your bill keeps going up and up and up. DirecTV's equipment is 10 years outdated. Dish has the best, the 4K, the voice remote, the best DVR. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I absolutely like it. I don't even have the newest one yet. We're going to have to work on that one. But
no, I need to get that for you.
I know.
I'll get it.
Get your hubby on that one. By the way, this is a great time for you to do this switch because if you mention my name, so my name is worth something down at No Wires Now. Right? It's pretty easy.
$200.
You mentioned, so you get a $200 Visa card. Mm-hmm. Restrictions may apply. Get all the details from Charisse. But remember, this is a family owned and operated company. It's not 800 lines. You get those, if you get those cards and there's the 800 at the 800 line on the back, don't call that because then you're just going off into oblivion. You want to call Charisse at her cell. Her number is 541-680-5875. I'll say it one more time. 541-680-5875. If you're calling from a regular phone, you may have to add the one because it was originally back when you were up in Roseburg. You know, one of those 541s.
Right. So, okay. So I'll help you take your equipment back.
Mm-hmm.
Help you get Dish.
Yeah.
I'll help you take your equipment back. My husband's your installer. Then I'm going to lower your internet and your cell phone bill for free. Right. So I'm going to save you probably around $200 a month. I mean, come on, that's $2,500 a year.
Yep.
$5,000.
It's real money.
I'll save you.
Real money, but you have to become a client first and call or text message 541-680-5875. Get in touch with Charisse. And like I said, I think you're going to enjoy the experience there. She's going to go to work for you.
Right.
And we need more people going to work and helping us save money. And you're one of them here in Southern Oregon.
Yeah. And I can get you the free cell phone. So if you need a new phone, I can give you a brand new phone for free. Just say Bill Meyer, and I'm going to give you a brand new phone for free.
I like that idea.
Come talk to me.
All right. So my name is worth something, at least at No Wires Now. Okay? Charisse, thanks so much. Merry Christmas if we don't talk to you before then. I guess I'll see you next year. Okay?
Yeah. Happy New Year.
All right.
Everyone. Bye.
And where's the, by the way, before you take off, though, on Biddle, where are you located on Biddle if people wanted to drop in?
Yeah, you come to my store. Oh, and I have gifts for everyone today. So if you come to the store, I have a present for you. 1560 Biddle Road. I'm right next to Boost and Cigar Caves between FedEx and People's Bank. I'm right there. I'm there till 4 o'clock.
All right. There you go. Thanks, Charisse. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah.
Be well.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. 8:46 on Open for Business. This is the Bill Meyer Show. It is now open phones for the rest of the morning here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Another 10 minutes of it. Happy to take your calls on anything on your mind. 770-5633. But you got to use the phone, okay?
This holiday season, warm up with the fest
on KMED.
It's 11:49, 770-5633. Open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, even if you are feeling merry or not. Let's go to Michael Shaw. Hey, Michael. What's going on with you today, huh?
Well, Merry Christmas, Bill. I started off with one item for Pebble in My Shoe today, and now I've found two.
Okay. What's that?
First reason I was calling was, I'm in town for the Christmas season. You know, I own Premier Packaging and Shipping. And I am absolutely amazed at the lack of Christmas spirit in this town. There are no lights, no trees, no Merry Christmas. Everybody's walking around with a frown and a scowl on their face. It is a dreary, dreary town, and I don't understand why.
Huh.
That's first.
Well, it is Oregon, and in spite of the fact that maybe things are looking better on the national stage, you know, Oregon has a challenge politically. Even at talking to Herman kind of illustrates that wouldn't you say?
Well, I understand, but even like businesses have not decorated, they've not done anything to celebrate the season or celebrate their customers. You just drive around, there's nothing showing the Christmas spirit, and it's just really strange. Because normally, even during bad times, people still put up lights and trees and wish you a Merry Christmas when you see them.
Okay, so that's one pebble in your shoe, lack of decoration. Okay, fine. And what's the other one?
Well, lack of spirit.
Okay.
The second one, Lucretia. She rants, she raves, she talks about all this stuff, and as you pointed out, she should be doing it on her own website. But there's never any factual anything that she comes up with and says, okay, here's solid video proof, whatever. But she has got all those things that she bombards you with.
Well, you know, it's just interesting because, you know, it's a love and not so love kind of relationship. And I'm not picking on her. The thing is, though, it's amazing. If I do stop it, then people yell at me, too. I get it from both sides. I really do.
I get it.
You know, on this, but I really do. When I said that to her, I meant that in all sincerity. You have a lot of information that you would like to spread, and you know, you need to do what everybody else is doing and write on such matters and go ahead and do this because, my gosh, why not be a Drudge Report for some of the Otter News? Okay, why not?
Sure, I agree with everything that you told her. And it's just very strange how she bounces from point to point to point without them being interconnected. It's like all of a sudden, Nebraska came into the conversation. You said, well, you've been talking for 2.5 minutes, but she wanted another 15 minutes of your time for it.
Well, I know, but, you know, it's a small town, and, you know, we're all a cast of characters. You're a cast of you're in the cast of characters, too, okay? Just understand that.
I agree. I am pretty much a character. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, and we all have to help one another. But I just think that Lucretia does have some pretty good information sometimes. And so I don't want to poo-poo it all, but I really do think she needs to have her own aggregate site. Really, I think it'd be great. Let me go to Brad. Hello, Brad. How you doing? It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. You know, this is just me reminding you what a wonderful service it is. You know, when you get people like Herman Berkshager and Dennis Lundtikam, you know, communicating in a way that everybody can listen in. As we go into this legislative season, Bill, you know how important it is for our legislators to hear directly from the people. They're gonna opening bill. They've got somewhere around 2,500 bills that they're gonna be looking at, and normal people like your listeners, they can't track all this stuff, but there's a thing called the Oregon State Legislature Information Systems called OLIS. It's real easy to find.
Yes.
If they can just keep a little bit of an eye on this stuff and communicate directly with their legislators, because you got lobbyists, and lobbyists are always knocking on the door. Sometimes they got maybe a checkbook, but I promise you, people like Kim Wallen and Emily McIntyre and E. Werner Reske and Dennis Lundtikam, they want to hear from your listeners. They want to hear directly from them, and it is so powerful. If your listeners could just make a little bit of time once in a while to communicate with your legislators, it means the world to them to hear what they're thinking.
And by the way, I would suggest, if you can, call rather than than email. I mean, the emailing, nothing wrong with an email now and then when it comes to a quick comment dashed off. But I would dare say, you know, even when I hear from people in Washington, D.C., like Cliff Bentz, they always talk about the calls really stand out because people who actually take the time to make the phone call do stand out and are kind of viewed more powerfully in that system. Good suggestion there, Brad. Thanks for making it. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. That's a way of fixing a pebble or two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Good morning. It's what's left of Jim from Jacksonville. I heard on the national news, and I haven't been able to confirm this, but at Medford, Oregon, at Tinseltown, there was a young child who was choking. And the mother and dad, they asked if anyone knew CPR, and there was a first responder there in the theater, and they saved that child's life.
It was a wonderful story. Yes.
It's just a great Christmas story, but I haven't heard it locally, and I'm trying to chase it down.
Well, the thing is, though, you heard it on national news. It was reported on the locally, I want to say about a week and a half ago. I think it took a while, but it filtered into the national. But, it was there.
That's kind of how my brain works these days. Merry Christmas, and thank you, Bill, for all of your hard work over this last year. We've got tremendous challenges, but tremendous advantages at this point. So God bless you, lovely wife. I would recommend you get a Nordic Track stationary bike. So while you're doing your puzzles, that's what I do.
Do it. Stretch my brain and then do that. You know, the one I like is the sundial. Sundial on the sun. What is it?
On the
UK sun. I really like that one. But, all right, Jim, be well. Merry Christmas to you, too, okay? Thank you. All right, got a couple minutes left here, and I wanted to do some more emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry. Good people over there at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. centralpointfamilydentistry.com, where, by the way, if you don't have dental insurance, they have a dental plan, which works a lot like insurance, but better benefits, a little less cost. Check it out, centralpointfamilydentistry.com, and get your appointment. And a gentleman from Gold Hill, I'm going to leave his name out on it, but this is going back to the killing, the assassination of the United Healthcare CEO of a couple of weeks ago. And there's been a lot of conversation, and you heard people like AOC talking about how the denial of a claim could be physical violence. And maybe this is something we talk about some morning here on the show, but it's kind of reflected in what this gentleman from Gold Hill wrote me the other day. I've been saving this, and I'm kind of looking at this. Maybe it's something that we think about tonight and overnight. But he says, Bill, many folks are upset at my lack of empathy for the scam artist killed in New York City. My daughter's oncologist prescribed radiation in October to fight a cancerous tumor in her thigh. The insurance company denied the treatment, as they felt melanoma didn't require radiation. Now in mid-December, the cancer has gotten so bad that she's going to Providence in Portland to get treatment from a premier oncologist. If this treatment doesn't work, they'll put her in hospice, and we wait for her to die at the age of 47. It's the same insurance company that just had their CEO killed. I hope he's burning in hell. This is from a listener. I got this, and I know there are many people who will say that they're kind of shocked at their moral outrage. Misplaced moral outrage is what they would say. But your health insurance claim is denied, it's not like you're having your auto insurance denied, or not like you're having your car loan denied. And that's why people get upset at like AOC, and I'm not a fan of AOC for the most part, but when they talk about, the violence of a denied claim, this individual from Gold Hill, maybe that explains, and I'm not condoning it, but maybe that explains some of that rage that's going on. And it's pretty thought-provoking stuff, and maybe we'll continue that as we continue it into Wheels Up Wednesday tomorrow.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting rolling billboard. The Wash Buggy Wrap Lab brands and restyles cars, pickups, vans, even big rigs with durable vinyl to present your business logo and info in a professional, contemporary design that's guaranteed to make a bold statement.